faded flowers. Life will never.
Welcome back. I'm Michael. You are listening to The Michael Dresser Show. Executive Coach Dr. Joni Carley is with us. Has developed transformation programs for the United Nations and departmental leaders, and is featured in Volume 1 of, listen to it, Stepping Stones to Success, co-authored by Deepak Chakra and Dennis Waitley. And let us say, Joni, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. Thanks for asking me, Michael.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. You know, a couple of words hit, and as I was finishing the last show, I had mentioned it, values-driven leadership. Joni, how do you get back to that? You know, we live in a world today, and I don't want to be political, either side doesn't matter. We live in a world today that focus seems on the attention is either on power or something self-serving. How do you step back to what you're talking about? Because what you're talking about is truly the driving force of what will allow us to become who we are in the best way possible.
That's right. It's really a paradox, isn't it? Because the power really is about having that personal power and self-serving. What's more serving of yourself than honoring your deepest values?
Oh, I completely.
You know, we've totally redefined those words into something that I don't think any of our ancestors would recognize. We see power now as power over and as getting over the next guy before they get you. Really what we see power as is just trumping somebody on the fear scale.
Sure.
But real power is living from those deeper values, those deeper distinctions that really truly drive people and that make the cultures that when people come together, it's their values that build the cultures that are around them. And if everybody served everybody else's values, not only would they be serving themselves, because that's the bottom line of the golden rule, you know, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that's a basic values proposition.
Oh, no question about it. No question.
Every major religion, and there's a reason for that, and the reason why it lasted so long, because it works. And now we have data around that. When I got into this 25 years ago, it was a crapshoot, honestly. You know, I just, in my gut said it had to be true. And I'm a great reader of all the spiritual traditions, so, you know, most of them said it had to be true. But now there's so many studies internationally that corroborate this, that when people are driven truly by their values, first of all, if they know what they are, and too many companies, even though we know that this is your cultural capital, and this is responsible for your profits, your share prices, your innovation, for your stakeholder loyalty, it's responsible for so much, and yet so few companies even figure out what they are.
And I think the biggest problem that we have today where this will work with what you're talking about, two things, commonality of value, commonality of definition. Let's add something to that. Commonality of focus. And I think that's where the biggest problem that we have today. You know, you have certain values. I have certain values. You and I should respect each other's values. But at the same time, it's if I respect yours, you have to come back and respect mine. If we have one side not doing it, then you've got that break. You've got that missing link that will cause businesses to have problems. The other side of that is it's such a competitive marketplace out there in this economy that the people that are going to go out and do things for less money are not going to make it. It's what you're talking about. And these are your words. How business leaders can strengthen their workplaces from the inside out. There has got to be engagement within. That is the first step for strength in a business to be able to survive in today's world.
Amen. And I think the first step is measure what everybody's values are. Get some hard data on it.
Sure.
And that's what people don't realize is that you can account for this. You can quantify what's going on in your culture. And when you get that, you know, not everybody may share the same definition for the same values, but at least if we're in the ballpark of talking values, we're out of the ballpark of a lot of political nonsense, of the fear, of the crazy stuff that people are heaping on each other in the name of success, which, you know, defining success the way we do is set new benchmarks on the scale of failure, really, truly.
Sure.
We're failing worse than we ever have. But then once you know what those values are, we look at what's going on right now. What do people value? What are the current cultural values? What's happening? And sometimes those are limiting. Sometimes those are values that people don't really want, but everybody's kind of participating in because that's the already is, and there is no focus on it. But when you figure out what people want as well as what's going on, then you can say, okay, now we can focus on that gap. We've defined what the gap is. We know what we've got. We know what we want. We've articulated it. We have to talk about it because our definitions may really vary a little bit, but that's fertile ground for making things happen together. And then we focus on where do we want to get to, and we're doing it in this ground of values that is so energizing. It brings so much vitality to the equation, and that's why the profits go up.
You said one word, and I want to bring you back to that word because I think that really in and of itself says it, and it's the key to it. You said the word culture. Business in and of itself, each business has its own culture, the rules of the road, quote unquote. And no matter what the cultures are from the outside, once we know what direction the business is going, then we adhere to that particular business culture. You know, and obviously if it's got if it's got a true value behind it. But I think that's really where it is. A business is a culture. Most people don't get that. And in today's world, we don't have a culture here. We have a culture and a subculture and a subculture to that, and five or six different cultures for people that are getting together that each one doesn't understand or don't relate to the way the other one is going. That's where the confusion is.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt there's cultures within cultures, and in the culture at large, that's another whole conversation that
sure.
I'd love to have another time. But in a workplace culture, the actual culture is there no matter what. The question is, how conscious are you of it, and how much do you understand that this is the make it or break it? And if you're not accounting for it, then you are not doing due diligence. There's enough research right now that if a board wanted to, it could bring its CEO to negligence suit, because if you're not quantifying your culture and consciously accounting for it, then you are not doing due diligence, because we know the impact of this is one of the most profound impacts of any actions a leader can take, is to account for the culture. And the way I think you account for the culture is you account for the building blocks of culture, which are values.
Okay, but let's take it a step further with that. Let's talk about the culture itself. Okay, you're dealing with a culture that, better yet, let's go with the word negligence. I like that word. Okay, let's go with the word negligence. You're the CEO of a company. I walk in and I sit down with you and I say, your immediate subordinate, what is their job? Write down what their job is. Then I go out to the immediate subordinate and I say to them, write down what you think your job is. What is it? And then we go back to the CEO, and you know what? It's never the same. And
how that's could, true.
So, so negligence is based on a lot of times awareness. It's not intentional negligence. It's just they don't know that simple thing. If they just do that, they get on track.
It's consciousness. It's really all about consciousness.
Sure.
And just the exercise. I happen to think that job descriptions are one of the most elegantly simple fixes in very, very small businesses and in huge corporations, because they do help to articulate things. But oftentimes, even when they're exactly right and people are pretty comfortable, if that underlying culture is just like good strategy, you can have great strategy and great job descriptions, but if that culture isn't fertile enough to really make people be able to do their jobs well, like at the UN, their job descriptions are in great shape. You know, it's very clear what they're supposed to do. But there's issues in the culture that make that job really being done inefficiently.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to go back to what you were talking about, fear factor. You know, and especially when you're in a position like that and all eyes, worldly, are on you, you've got to be frightened to death of doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing, or how it's going to be perceived by others outside. Now, when you're in a position like that, no matter what you do, it's going to be the wrong thing anyway.
Well, you know what? There's a great Hindu saying that I love. It says, the further up a monkey climbs, the more you see it's behind.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's just part of the territory. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. And you know, Facebook just lost a lot of money. You know, maybe huge percentage of more than half, maybe 60-70% of its stock value. And at the same time, Mark Zuckerberg got voted 98% top CEO in the world by
sure.
his employees. Now, how does that happen at the same time? Because those employees lost money too. Most of them are vested, right? So there's this is a real non sequitur that you wouldn't see in most places, but they've got a really hot culture.
Yeah.
He can count on that he's blown something to have the stock fall that far. Something was miscalculated there. The buck stops with him, but he's got all of that support. They can weather this.
Yeah. No, with that backup, absolutely, I completely agree to that. But the other side of it, let's go back to where leadership begins. Leadership begins at home. And by the way, one of the talking points that you have why, you know, leadership as we know it is a dinosaur, leadership has always started at home. The parents model what those kids are going to do. Good, bad, or indifferent, they're the leaders. They're the ones who are doing the original teaching, and then the kids go to, you know, they go to school, they get other ideas, and then they become who they are. But that base of what it is starts with the parent. If the parent's not there, that's what the base of what that kid has. And just recently, I don't know if you saw the MSNBC broadcaster, and she was saying that, you know, kids don't belong to parents. They belong to a collective. It's not a parent's responsibility anymore for that child. It's not their kids. We get into a mindset like that, and then where are you going to find leadership? You're going to find leadership for somebody dictating what somebody should think, and there is going to be a problem.
Well, I think it's about that. And, you know, my company is called Leaderful Edge because I believe that everybody needs to be leaderful, from parents to the janitor to the CEO. You know, I see sometimes more leaderful maintenance people than CEOs. But at the same time, I think it does take a village to raise a child. So, you know, I mean, it's a both end. And there's a deeper level of accountability here that supersedes both of these and brings that both end to a singular point, which is let's clean up who we are and what we're doing in this culture, in the world, in the workplace. And I have a couple of ways that people can do that on my website. I have a free download called 7 Steps to the Top, because that's really geared at the personal transformation and the personal process that you're talking about, so that you become a good parent, so that you become a good role model, no matter what you're doing, whether you're parenting or just shopping at the grocery store. You know, be civil. Be fully present to who you are. So that's a free download called 7 Steps to the Top. And I also have one where leaders can actually rank themselves in 7 levels of leadership. And that's a very powerful tool the sister tools to that have been used all over the world, many corporations. That's a really good value for a leader. And that's free. That's a freebie too at leaderfuledge.com.
No, I think that's a great idea because for the most part, most people, being a leader is not an innate thing. There is a process and a strategy to being a leader. You have to learn things. And most people don't know. I go back to, you know, the old Peter principle. You're a great salesperson and you're so good that they bring you to management. Now you're a great salesperson, you're an okay manager. Now they bring you to an executive position because you've been there long enough. You're a lousy CEO, okay manager, and a wonderful salesperson. What happened is we went beyond beyond our ability to be able to function. We went beyond where we knew what to do. But if somebody would have taught somebody along the way, at the height of incompetency, that's what I want to say. But if somebody would have held somebody by the hand all the way up, those things wouldn't happen. They would be able to learn how to be able to deal with the position that they're moved into.
Well, that's what good coaching does on the one hand. And on the other hand, I think part of what we're talking about is this shift that's happening. There is an old paradigm way that's the way that it would be done. And a new paradigm way is to say leadership is not an end game. It isn't that you get here and you're done. Leadership is a constantly evolving state of being. And it requires personal self-reflection, it requires system self-reflection, it requires evolution of the team, evolution of the individuals, and that requires a much broader take on leadership than just making your mark in the next position.
Oh, absolutely. A prime example of that is you hire me, and then you also hire somebody who's 20 years old. John Wayne is still my hero, and I think the Fonz should have been vice president of the United States, you know. But now that person and I have got to be able to mold into the culture and be able to deal with what's there. I think that's really what we're dealing with.
Well, see, that's why I like to measure. Because when you get objective data on what that is for both of you, and you put that data and you plot it out and you, what it is for everybody around you, the whole team or the whole organization, we can measure three people or we can measure one person or we can measure 10,000 at the same time. But you put these plots and graphs together and you look at who these people are in relation to each other in real data. And plot it out on graphs and charts, and you really take a good hard look at it, then you're dealing with something very real. You're not stabbing in the dark and hoping that you find this alignment. You're really looking at where are we aligned, where are we not aligned, where do you value that something sort of like me, but, you know, maybe I value home work-life balance and you value family. Well, if I'm a single person, that manifests a little differently, but we're pretty much on the same page, and we can find some ground there to talk and realize that you weren't just skipping out on your job last week. Your kid had a recital, and that's way in the top 10 for you.
Then you got to
like to say, okay, you know what? I get that. I wouldn't have left that day, but I can work with you on this one.
And then you got to be able to work with guys like me, who in the old days, at the end of the movie, the cowboy didn't kiss the girl; he kissed the horse. Okay, well, Joni, we're just about out of time. Do you have a website we can find you at?
I do. It's leaderfuledge.com. That's LEADERFUL, edge.com. And that's about exactly what we're talking about, staying on that edge. There's lots there. But right there on the right-hand column, you can download this it's a self-assessment. It'll take you 15 minutes or so. It'll give you a lot of great insight on who you are as a leader. And if you want to work on that personal dimension, the 7 Steps to the Top is a great ebook.
Great. Hey, Joni, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. I enjoyed
talking
with you.
Bye-bye.